And now to how the threat of the sequester is viewed outside of Washington. NPR's Tamara Keith visited South Carolina and found mixed reactions.
In Sumter, South Carolina, home of Shaw Air Force Base and the 20th Fighter Wing, cars sport bumper stickers that say, "Jet noise is the sound of freedom." Throughout the day, F-16s on training runs blast from a runway on base, disappearing into the foggy sky. If the automatic spending cuts go ahead, there will be a lot less of that sound.
What would have to happen to cut to that level, we just could not pay for the amount of flying hours that we currently have.
Captain Ann Bladzinski is the chief of public affairs at Shaw Air Force Base. Air Force officials say 200,000 flying hours would have to be slashed between now and the end of September. And Bladzinski says that would have all kinds of consequences.
When jets sit, they break. So the longer they sit, you can't just bring everything back up. You can't just bring the pilots right back up to being ready to fly.
Scheduled maintenance wouldn't happen on schedule. Runway repairs would be delayed. And while uniformed personnel will continue to get paid, hundreds of thousands of civilians will face 22 days of unpaid furlough. Rob Sexton is one of them. He works with Bladzinski.
For most of us, in dollars and cents, that means about a 20% pay cut.
Sexton says everyone he runs into is talking about it, scraping for every bit of news they can find about what might come out of Washington.
In a sense, it's like sitting in New Jersey waiting for Hurricane Sandy to hit. Because, you know, there's a storm coming, but you don't know how big it's going to be, how bad it's going to be, how long it's going to be.
Just up Broad Street from the base, things are pretty quiet at the Goodwin Auto Mall. Owner Cliff Goodwin says people affiliated with the base account for about a third of his business.
I wonder if it'll be similar to the fiscal cliff that we all worried about so much, just a lot of hype, and then that it'll ultimately be resolved in a good common sense manner.
Waiting, watching, and hoping is what Lenny Miller is doing, too. She's the Head Start Director with Carolina Community Actions Incorporated. They serve about 850 3- and 4-year-olds, including two classrooms of kids at the Avery Lake Affordable Housing Complex.
The problem that we have is deciding which children.
Which children to kick out of the program. She's looking at a classroom full of kids, a group drawing cars, a couple on the computer working on letters, others playing with blocks and trains. If the sequester goes through, Miller says the only way to cut enough costs would be to lay off instructors. They'd have to eliminate three classes, 51 children.
Which children do you choose? Which families do you think could go without the service and they'll be okay? And I don't think there's any family that we serve that would not be affected in a negative way.
And so with all this worry about the spending cuts, you'd expect the sequester to be a major topic of discussion at South Carolina Republican Mick Mulvaney's recent town hall meeting in nearby Rock Hill.
Sequester, you hear a lot about this in the next couple days.
As he does at every town hall, the congressman opens the meeting with a PowerPoint presentation about hot topics. He's plain spoken and breaks down the big numbers of the federal budget so they're easily understood. Every seat is taken in the auditorium, with some people standing in the back.
The sequester cuts are real cuts. They're cuts in the way that you and I would understand them as normal human beings. They're not Washington cuts, which are just...
He says the across-the-board nature of the cuts to military spending are not the best way to do this, and then moves on to other topics. A full 2 hours of questions from the audience, and not a single person asks about the sequester.
Does that surprise you that Washington cares about something that people back home don't?
Mulvaney describes himself as one of the most conservative members of Congress. And judging from the questions, the audience at the meeting was largely conservative as well.
To the extent that it would come up, I think people would hear say, what's the big deal?
He'd like to see the sequester cuts replaced with other more strategic cuts. Mulvaney has no idea how this will ultimately pan out, but he is certain it won't live up to the hype.
I'm comfortable that the federal government will continue to exist after the sequester. I don't think people are going to, you know, go to the streets and revolt when the U.S. Department of Commerce has to go back a couple years on their budgets.
A poll out this week from Pew and USA Today finds 4 in 10 people believe that if Congress and the president can't reach a deal, the cuts should be allowed to go into effect. Tamara Keith, NPR News.